welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, bringing you an hour of drama. Later on, it's the Hallmark Playhouse with a famous story adapted on the silver screen several times. But right now, a broadcast of your Movie Town Radio Theater or the Skippy Hollywood Theater, both from the same syndicator, with a play called The Liar, starring the actor known as Sabu. You'll hear his credentials in the introduction next for the play The Liar.
Sabu. Sir Alexander Korda discovered him in India when he went there to film one of Kipling's great stories. And the audience discovered him when the picture Elephant Boy was released. He went on to score hits in Drums, Thief of Baghdad, and Jungle Book. And then he got his most dramatic role. It was in the Army Air Force as a belly gunner. And by the time he'd returned to Hollywood, he'd flown 42 missions and received a great many decorations, including the Distinguished Flying Cross. We're very happy to introduce a great war hero and a fine actor, Sabu.
Well, thank you very much, Les. You know, I got out the Army in 1945, so the war is pretty far back in my memory. I appreciate all you said about my record in the service, but I'd much rather try to live up to the last part of your introduction.
That you're a fine actor? Well, I'm sure you will.
Well, I hope so. I'll try.
Good. And will you meet me here for a little talk after the final curtain, Sabu? It's sort of a ritual with us.
I shall be here. I'm not the one to break tradition, Sahir.
Thank you, Sabu. And now, here is our announcer. The curtain is up, and here is the play. By the time the war in the Pacific had reached its final month, most of the natives in the small island near Borneo had become friendly to the Americans. But some still thought of the Americans as their enemies and considered the few remaining Japanese guerrillas their allies. One morning, a native medicine man and his young assistant approached the army post and eyed it suspiciously.
Napa, come away.
But my uncle lives in the camp, Gochapa.
You come away. That white man war camp.
I would like to see my uncle.
White man Sabu. You come back village, me teach you make medicine. Be medicine man like me.
Is white man's medicine as big as the medicine you make, Gochapa?
Mine big, him small.
Oh, I would like to go in and see my uncle.
Him work like woman there.
My uncle would like to see me.
No, you stay. If go, me...
Gochapa, look!
What?
Behind you.
Huh?
Japanese, the Japanese are going to get us.
Where, Japanese?
There, behind that hill. Japanese will take us, cut us with knives.
No, see... look all over. Me, Napa. Napa, no. Come back. No run to war camp. Bad, Napa. Bad. Bad.
I had great trouble getting in to see you, my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the white man medicine will talk with me?
Oh, him good friend. Maybe him do like missionary, put water on head. You not get hot when you die, Napa.
Did he put water on your head, my uncle?
Missionary do it. Me, Christian, long time.
I do not see any water on your head.
Sink in. You catch a water. Work hard. Be good. You be high person like me. I sweep out place where captain lives.
Oh, my uncle, who is that over there?
Hmm?
The girl there sewing cloth.
Stop it, Christian, now. Get mind away from young girl.
She is smiling at me.
Come, chaplain, stay behind this door. Here.
Chaplain is white medicine man, no?
Mm-hmm.
Come in.
Oh, for chaplain.
Oh, Chaka.
Me.
I'm glad to see you. There's nothing wrong, I hope?
Everything good but him. Him bad.
Huh?
Him nephew.
Oh, you brought your nephew here.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, Chaka.
How big is your medicine, chaplain? Can you make the wind stop blowing?
Well, our medicine is of a different sort, my boy. We're concerned with men's souls.
Oh, I know what that means. Gochap and I are building a boat out of reeds which will sail up to the skies with souls. And the souls will become stars.
Napa.
Do you have the medicine as big as that, Chaplain?
Sorry, him bad.
It's nothing to worry about, Jacko. Napa doesn't understand, that's all. Now, suppose you go back to your work and let me talk to him alone.
Yes, me go, but you make him Napa like that, Chaplain.
Now, make yourself at home, my boy. Nothing here will hurt you.
Oh, I'm not afraid. I was looking around to see if you had a rainmaker.
Why does your uncle say you're bad?
I tell lies.
Oh, you tell lies?
Oh, big ones. Chaplain, I will teach you how to tell lies, and you will teach me how to make white men's medicine. But
don't you know that it's wrong to lie, Napa?
Oh, but what am I going to do? Lies come to me.
You must hold them back.
It is better to hold it back and go around with lie inside you than to tell it.
I'm afraid you don't. Come in.
Excuse me, Chaplain.
Oh, Satuka.
Oh, the sore of cloth.
I have used all the thread I was given, Chaplain.
Satuka, you know better than to come to me for such things, don't you?
Yes.
The women of the compound take care of the thread.
Yes. But if I had gone to the women, I would not have seen him, Chaplain. He came in here.
Me?
He is very pretty.
I am Napa.
I am Satuka.
I saw you outside when I saw you with Chaco.
I saw you, too.
You smiled at me.
Now, wait.
You smiled at me, too.
I am Napa.
I am Satuka.
Wait. Satuka, go to the compound and get your thread from the women.
All right.
They'll give it to you. Well, run along. Don't stand there.
He is very pretty. His muscles ripple like water.
Yes. I must get more clothes for you immediately.
Oh, Chaplain, would it be all right if I stayed here?
Oh, you mean you'd like to help us?
Oh, I would like to stay.
Oh, good. Suppose you come along with me, then. I'm going over to the motor pool, and perhaps they can use you there.
Oh, does Satuka work in the motors, too?
No. Satuka sews with the women.
Oh.
Now, it'll be your duty to take a sponge, such as this one, and some water, and wash these jeeps.
I would think women could do this work, Chaplain. Satuka.
Never mind the women. Take the sponge.
Well, what is that moon-like thing you have on your hand?
Huh? Oh, that's a timepiece. A watch.
A watch?
Yes. These two hands, the arrows, move. When they point to this figure, I know it's time for the sun to rise.
Oh.
And when they're here, I know food will be on the table. When here, the sun will set.
What a wonderful medicine maker. Gochapa and I would give Devil Catcher one of those.
And right now it tells me it's later than I thought. Napa, I wonder if you'd deliver a message for me.
A message? That means I can go away from the jeep and the sponges, does it not?
One of my assistants, Corporal Page, is in the hut where we met. Go and tell him to get the chapel ready for our service this evening.
He is to get the chapel ready for this evening.
Yes. And when you've told him, come back here.
Oh, yes. I am most happy to take message. You are Satuka.
And you are Napa.
I'm running like the wind with a message.
You are?
When I am done, everyone will be excited.
Oh.
Then I can come to visit you. And they will not even notice I have forgotten to go back to the motor. Are you Corporal Page?
Yes.
Oh, in the motors, the chaplain. He has fallen to the ground from the heat of the sun. I think he is dying. He asked me to have you come to him. He's by the jeep.
Dying? Chaplain Simpson? I'll go right away. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
And I will run ahead to help. Chaplain! Chaplain! It is a bad thing. I did as you told me. But Corporal Page has gone to the general's hut, and I found him there. And he is dying, I think. The general said to have you come to him.
Dying? Oh, dear me, no. You're a good boy, Napa, for coming back so quickly.
I will run ahead to see if I can help. I'm here, Satuka. And even the chaplain will see how much I've done by not going around with lies inside me. While he's away, Corporal Page are not finding each other. I will see you and you can see me.
Napa, you've told a lie.
Two of them. Beautiful big ones.
Napa, you'd better go.
Oh?
Only a man and woman who are married can be in the compound together.
You are married?
No. Are you?
No. Shall you and I get married?
I cannot marry a heathen.
Why?
I'm Christian. People who marry must both be Christian or both be heathen.
Oh. Well, will you be a heathen like me? Or are you a stubborn girl?
I'm not stubborn. I would be afraid to be a heathen.
Well, then I will become a Christian.
Oh, Napa.
And we will be married. Wait here while I get some shells to give your relative as a present.
No.
So they... No?
Christians are different. Christians go to the missionary or to the chaplain, and he says words. That's all.
Words all you need to get married?
Yes.
This Madison must be better than Gochapas. Very well. I will find the chaplain, tell him I'm a Christian.
Did you say that you're a Christian, Napa?
Oh, Madison, like magic, he is here. Please, sink water in my head, chaplain, so I can be a Christian.
My boy, a man does not become a Christian merely by baptism.
Oh, there is more?
Much more. You said you wanted to stay here. Well, if you do, you must try to follow our ways. We consider lying a sin, one which must be punished. And for punishment, you will spend the night washing the jeeps. The moon is bright enough.
Oh, no, chaplain.
Yes, one night. I think Napa is a boy who will learn fast.
Napa.
Satuka.
Are you all right?
Oh, I'm here with the jeeps and sponges learning not to tell lies.
I'm so glad, Napa. I've been awake. Looking into the darkness. I've been thinking about you out here.
I have been thinking about you.
Let me sit down. You sit beside me.
Is that not wrong?
Very.
You will be punished.
Yes.
Satuka, at the village of our people, there is no punishment for small things.
I remember.
Maybe it would be better if you become a heathen.
What?
We would not get too hot when we die. I'm building a boat which sails up to the sky. Our souls will be stars.
Yes. But I wanted so much for the one I marry to be important. A man who would sweep out the captain's hut.
Only Christians can have that honor. And I will never be a Christian now.
No, I do not think you will be. You told a lie.
Satuka, shall we run away from the camp of war? Go back to the village.
I do not know.
I will be a medicine man there someday. That's almost as good as sweeping out the captain's hut. Satuka, if you take my hand, we could run fast. We would run like the wind. By sunrise, we would be at the village. By sunset, we would get married.
Yes, Napa, like the wind. We must run like the wind.
We'll return in just a moment with Act Two of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of The Liar, starring Sabu. And now, here is our announcer.
Any trace of him, Chaco?
No, Chaplain. I go far, but not find him. Him bad.
No trace of the girl, Chaplain. She must be with him. I had my hands on that girl.
No. I'm the one to blame. I was unjust. I lost my temper. I forgot he'd only just come to us and hadn't learned our ways. I shouldn't have punished him. It was only natural for him to run away.
Not bad. Maybe girl bad, too.
You think there's a chance he might have been sent here by the Jap guerrillas to spy?
I don't know. I don't know what to think. All I know is it's almost dawn, and I've spent a sleepless night thinking of the two of them out there in the jungles. One who has already learned our ways, and the other who has to be shown.
Is there anything I can do, Chaplain?
Nothing. Except to remind me, if I ever forget again, that winning the war with guns is only half of our job. The other part is teaching. And in that, I've failed.
Always this high when one is tired, Satuka.
Yes.
But when we get to the top, we will see the village of our people. We will be home.
Yes.
For already the sky is getting light. On the other side of the hill is the sun. Satuka, I wish there were more light now. I could tell then if you're crying.
No.
I think you are. Shall we stop a minute to rest? Now, let me feel your cheeks if there are tears. Satuka, telling lies is all right for you. You're a heathen now.
I know.
I will take good care of you, Satuka.
You will.
Satuka, you're lying about being a heathen, too. Do you wish to go back to the mission?
No.
It's a terrible thing to be a Christian, no?
No. It's wonderful, Napa.
But you're crying. And I was made to wash jeans.
Oh, Napa. A Christian is punished when he does wrong. But so is everyone else. Everywhere a Christian goes, God goes along to protect him.
Who is God?
A friend, Napa. He is like Iyo Harivnina, only not so fierce. Iyo Harivnina is so fierce we heathens call him that instead of his real name. We are afraid to say Kwaoar.
Satuka, no.
But I'm not afraid to say God. Listen, God. 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 No thunder, no lightning.
He heard you.
Yes.
Is he here?
Yes.
And he goes with you if you go away?
Oh, do not say such a thing. I want to be with you.
If you go away?
He will go with me.
I will be alone then.
No. He will be here too, I think.
He must be very big.
No, but he's not like a man. He's like, well, everywhere we go, there's air to breathe. It's like that. Only he's not air. He's goodness.
Would you like it better if you went fast?
I think so. But I want to be with you, Napa.
Yes?
I do not know what to do. Napa, I wish you were going back with me.
No. Well, Satuka, I will see your smile when I'm alone.
When I'm alone, I will see your muscles ripping. Like water.
May the souls that are stars shine down on you.
God watch over you. Goodbye.
Napa, Napa, you have come back.
Yes, I have come back.
Good. Almost too late. Last night, Japanese come to village. They show me how to make big medicine.
Yes?
They tell me send tribe to kill men at white war camp. They give me many things.
The white men's war camp?
Yes. They give me big medicine when we kill white men.
No.
They promise already. Tribe start. Leave when sunrise.
But I...
I go now. You follow. You go too.
No, Gachapa, no. I can help you very much. I've been inside the war camp.
Oh.
I will go ahead to the tribe and be there to show them there is no one guarding.
You good helper. Hurry, go ahead.
I must run, Gachapa.
Good.
But you follow. While I go ahead, I must run like the wind.
Now,
I must get in. Oh, but I must get in. I must see the chaplain. Please let me in. Chaplain! Chaplain!
No, sir. It's all right, guards. I'll vouch for him.
I'm so glad you've come back, Napa.
Chaplain.
Satuka is here now, too.
Chaplain.
I'll feel better about leaving the post now and going up to administer to the patrols.
Leave the post?
I felt badly about losing my temper. You don't understand about lies yet, but...
Oh, the lie. I had forgotten.
But now that you're back, I...
Chaplain, you must not leave the post.
Oh, yes. Look, four soldiers are going along to protect me. The men of the patrols need counsel, and I...
Chaplain, no, no.
Now, now, Corporal Page will see that your wants are taken care of.
Chaplain, before you go, would you show me the watch again?
Hmm?
The medicine maker, which tells the sun when to rise.
Oh, the watch. Well, for just a moment. Then I'll have to be on my way.
I can see where the arrow must make the sunset. I know how to read it now. Let me take it in my hand.
Oh, all right, but be careful not to drop it. There.
Oh, but now, it is mine to make medicine with, and you will not have it, ever. The watch is mine. I will be able to send to rise.
That native boy, he took my watch. Sergeant, your men, have your men get him.
Right.
He's running toward the native compound. Get him. He's possessed of a devil.
Bye.
battle with heathen people and Japanese over. You go now.
My uncle, you said you find Satoka and bring her to me.
Me find. She come soon. But you go now. You bad.
Not Satoka. Leave us, my uncle. Go. Here, Satoka.
Nasa, I do not know what to say.
The chaplain, forgive me for running away. He is not hurt when the people of my village attacked the war camp.
The soldiers drove them away, and the Japanese, too.
When you see the chaplain, will you give him this?
What is it?
The thing I stole. It tells the sun when to rise and the food to be cooked.
I will give it to him. Chaplain?
No. No, Satoka.
Yes, Charles?
Napa is here. He wishes to see you.
Oh, no.
I asked the chaplain to come with me, Napa. It is wrong to see you. So I'd come without him. Well, I would not go unpunished again.
You wanted to see me, Napa.
He wants to give you the watch.
But I do not wish to see you, chaplain.
I am here, though.
You wish me to leave, chaplain.
No, no, stay. What did you want to say, Napa?
I did not want to say anything. But maybe it's better you know. Then I go away. I learned the village was coming to fight with war camps with Japanese soldiers. So I ran like the wind. I wanted to save Satoka.
Oh, Napa.
When I came, you and soldiers were leaving. I thought if the war party had found you outside, they would kill you. I did not tell they were coming. They would have said it is another Napa's lie. So instead of telling the truth, even though I knew it was wrong to lie, I told a lie. I said I could read your watch. I cannot.
Oh.
I stole it. That was wrong, too.
By stealing it, you hoped to keep us inside looking for you, so we'd be safe when the attack came.
I hate to have people killed. Chaplain also told one more lie. I said to Gachapa I would run ahead to the war camp and show the war party where to get without guard seeing them. Chaplain, please, have your watch make medicine so the sun would set now, and I can go away in the dark with no one looking at my face.
You want to leave us?
I'm a teller of lies. No one would ever put water in my head.
He means no one would baptize him, chaplain.
The best thing I will be able to do is to sail the boat to the sky and let my soul be a star.
Napa, in view of your present spirit of humility, I rather think a baptism could be arranged in the near future.
I could be a Christian.
Oh, Napa, Napa.
And in view of your heroism, we might be able to persuade your uncle to allow you to take his place for one day and let you sweep out the captain's quarters.
Sweep out? Oh, chaplain.
Satoka always dreamed of having a husband sweeper of the captain's hut.
Chaplain, if one of the older women from the compound comes with me, may I watch as Napa sweeps the captain's hut?
Huh? Watch?
His muscles will be rippling like water. Chaplain, it's such a pretty sight to see.
Curtain falls on Act Two of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of The Liar, starring Sabu, who returns in just a moment. And here's our star for a very well-deserved curtain call. Sabu?
Thank you, Les. I really enjoyed doing The Liar. I just hope I can get away from the influence of the character I played. I'm afraid I'm going to have a hard time winning my wife's confidence again.
Well, with that grin, you shouldn't have any trouble at all. Now, Sabu, at the beginning of the show, we mentioned all the pictures you made before the war. I know that since then, you went over to England to make Black Narcissus, and I saw you in Tangier. Have there been some others?
Oh, yes, Song of India and End of the River. But I'd much rather talk about my next one. It'll take me back to India for shooting, and I'll be playing a role similar to the one that got my first break.
Well, Sabu, I know that millions will be waiting to see you in it. Elephant Boy remains a screen classic. And the best of luck to you.
Thank you, Les. It's been a great pleasure working with you. And I want to thank Peggy Weber, who played Satoka, as well as the rest of the cast and everyone connected with the production.
Thank you, and goodbye, Sabu. Coming attractions include some of the biggest names in motion pictures and some very fine stories. Dramas, comedies, and so forth. So be sure to make it a point to be with us each and every week. In our cast, you heard as our star, Sabu as Napa, Peggy Weber as Satoka, Dan O'Herlihy as the chaplain, James Hayward as Gutkoppa, Ramsey Hill as Chucko, and Charlie Long as Corporal Page. Music was composed and conducted by Del Castillo. The Liar was written by Ray Wilson, edited by Bud Lesser, and produced and directed by yours truly, Les Mitchell.
Your Movie Town Radio Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday, a broadcast from the mid to late 1940s. At the start of that broadcast, Sabu's war experience was featured, and he was actually interviewed on the Bob Hope program a month after the war ended, in September of 1945, where he talked about his experiences as a sergeant in the Army, flying in B-24s. You're listening to an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. Now time for Catherine Haviland Taylor's story, The Failure, featured on the Hallmark Playhouse. A compelling tale about a country doctor which was turned into a film two times. The first was in 1933, starring Lionel Barrymore, and it was made into a motion picture again in 1938. We hear the radio adaptation next with Ward Bond in the lead from January 27, 1949 on CBS.
Tonight, from Hollywood, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you Ward Bond in Catherine Haviland Taylor's The Failure on the Hallmark Playhouse. Each week, Hallmark will bring you Hollywood's greatest stars in outstanding stories chosen by one of the world's best-known authors, the distinguished novelist, Mr. James Hilton.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is James Hilton. Tonight on our Hallmark Playhouse, we present a story called The Failure by Catherine Haviland Taylor. Now, what is a failure? Who can rightly call himself one? These are the questions you'll probably ask, and they are the questions that the writer intended you to ask, since her story asks them itself. And I think when you heard it, you may feel that her story could also and equally have been called The Success. It's certainly a success as a story, and it's a heartwarming chronicle of a plain man's life, which might well be the life of countless plain men who never make the headlines. There have been a good many stories about doctors, but none, I think, which so stresses the humility and selflessness of the profession. And we are happy to present in the leading role of The Failure that fine Hollywood actor, Mr. Ward Bond. Hallmark Playhouse, presenting Catherine Haviland Taylor's The Failure and starring Ward Bond.
My dear nephew, tonight I've been sitting here in my office and some long thoughts have been chasing themselves around inside of me. Suddenly, I found myself wanting to write them down. When a man gets to be my age and the realization dawns on him that he's a failure and it's too late to do anything about it, he starts poking around the ashes of years past, trying to figure out how it happened and just where the golden opportunities eluded and escaped him. I've been sitting here listening to voices and words that were spoken a long time ago, words that were milestones, and yet some of which I had completely forgotten. And among them, I realize now, were the actual voices of beckoning success. The day I got the papers that said I was a doctor, one of the city's top surgeons sent for me. I was feeling far more idealistic than practical as I sat there listening to him.
I have done a great deal of thinking about who I would like to have as an assistant. And as far as I'm concerned, there's no one I'd rather have than you.
Well, thank you, sir. That's very good of you. But you see, I sort of planned on going back to Pleasanton. My father had a great many patients there. He was the only doctor in the town, you know, and I've felt a certain responsibility since his death. As a matter of fact, I'm going to practice there this summer.
Pleasanton? Do you mean to tell me that you're going to bury yourself in that one-horse town for the sake of a charity practice? Or you'll be an overworked, underpaid hack, and you won't contribute one thing to medicine. Dr. Watt, You'd better listen to me. Or one day you'll look in your mirror and see a man old before his time. A failure.
It was late the next night when I got to Pleasanton. My mother was sitting up waiting for me. I told her about Dr. Bartlett's offer. She didn't have much to say.
Well, son, you'll have to think it out for yourself.
What's this box of walnuts on the desk, Mother?
Ed Willoughby dropped those by this morning. He said it was part payment for opening the boil on his little girl's neck.
Oh, I see. Yes, come in.
Evening, Miss Watts. Evening, Eli.
Evening, Andrew.
Evening.
My girl, she burned herself. Spilled an oil lamp.
Bad?
Pretty bad. How much for coming out, Eli?
How much will you pay?
50 cents. And not 1 cent more.
All right. I'll be right with you. The days of that summer were busy. Mentally, I had already begun to look upon my practice in Pleasanton as temporary, and I hurried from bedside to bedside, trying to do as much as I could against the day when I wouldn't be there to do anything.
How's the patient, Aggie O'Brien?
She's going to be all right.
Oh, praise be to God.
Oh, I'm tired. You got anything to eat?
Oh, I got a nice pot of stew for you.
Well, who paid us off in meat?
Mark Peters. For his mother-in-law's gallbladder.
Well, good for Mark Peters.
Mrs. Arnheim was by. She said she'd drop by again tomorrow.
She had no business out of bed. I told her to rest.
She wanted to spare you the trip out there. It's pretty hard for a woman with 5 kids to stay in bed. She says if you can keep her above ground till next year when Molly's 14, why, then Molly can do for the kids.
Do they actually think that I can measure their time, grant their request to stay alive until the kids can manage? Mom, do they think that I'm God?
Some of them do. And the ones that don't are pretty sure you have a speaking acquaintance with him.
Oh, hello, Bill. Come on in.
Hi, Doc. I brought down a couple of chickens. I put them out in the coop. Didn't know whether it was too late to knock or not, but I saw your light.
Oh, I was just sitting here thinking things over.
Susan said a couple of chickens wasn't much in exchange for a baby, but we'll send some more down when we can.
That's all right.
Doc, you don't know what a difference you've made in our lives just in these few months. You're one of us. You understand us. Why, when you tell Rachel Carson she's going to be better, she believes you and she starts getting better. Well, I'd better be moving on. Susan will start worrying.
Well, give her my love.
I'll do that. Night, Doc.
Night, Bill. Oh, God, I know I'm weak. And I hope you'll see your way clear to forgive me, but I've got to pass the opportunity by. I've just got to stay here in Pleasanton. I knew as I sat there that I was just going to plug along and end up a failure. Mother died soon after that, and then your father, Jimmy, and your mother and you came to live with me. And of all the voices I remember, it is your voice I remember loudest and clearest. Hey, what's going on out here?
I threw rocks at a girl.
Well, that wasn't very nice, was it, Jimmy? Why did you throw rocks at a girl?
Because she was a girl. I don't like girls.
Why?
Because they're girls. Where are you going?
On a case.
Want company?
Well, there's nothing I'd like better. Hop in.
You know something?
What?
When I grow up, I'm going to be just like you. I'm going to cut people open and take other pains and sew them up again.
So you want to be a doctor?
Just like you.
We'll make you a better doctor than I am. We'll manage Vienna for you, Jimmy.
Uncle Eli, You're the best doctor in the world.
Well, suppose we just say that I'm the best doctor in Pleasanton. Outside of Pleasanton, I'm a... Well, that's another story, Jimmy. That's another story. Yes, Jimmy. Tonight I've been sitting here writing to you, sorting out some memories and some words that were said a long time ago. At 12, Jimmy, you thought I was the greatest doctor in the world. At 16, you were telling me that the thing to do was to manage a practice, but not to let it manage you. At 17, you saw that I was a country doctor who would never expand. And at 22, you were telling me how the big fellows did it. At 22, you realized what I'd always known you must someday.
Oh, don't misunderstand me, Uncle Eli. Isn't that I think you're a failure or anything, but people have different ways of doing things now. You have to keep up with the times.
Yes, I realize that, and I do what I can, Jimmy. Say, I have to ride out in the country on a case. Would you like to come along?
No, I've got some studying to do. I have a big exam coming up.
Jimmy, I can't tell you how very proud I am of you. You're exactly the kind of a doctor I dreamed of you being. Successful, prominent, prosperous. Last month when I took Rebecca Kyle to your hospital in the city, I wanted to tell you that, but it was a busy day for you.
Come in. Oh, hello, Uncle Eli. Come on in.
I brought in Rebecca Kyle, Jimmy.
Oh, yes. Operation scheduled for Thursday.
Yes, Thursday at 10. Jim, I'm sure she'd feel easier if she could talk to you before the operation.
Oh, now, look, Uncle Eli, I just took this case as a favor to you. I have a lot to do before Thursday. The Kyle case is a very simple operation.
Well, I know, but there's a psychological thing involved here. Becky isn't any too strong, and she seems to feel that she's not going to pull through it.
Oh, nonsense. I never lost a case like this in my life.
Well, of course, if you're busy...
I have a full week, Uncle Eli. You coming to the Medical Association meeting?
Well, I'm going to try, but Hilda Archer's baby has pneumonia, and I have to be around considerable. I guess you remember Hilda. She used to be Hilda Jones, and she lived in that big house down on Elm Street.
Look, I'm afraid I have to run, Uncle Eli. I have a luncheon and an operation at 2. Nice case, and I get paid money. It's nice stuff to have in the bank.
Yes, I guess it is. But some make it, and some don't. There are compensations. How's Cynthia?
Oh, wonderful. She was asking about you last night.
Oh, she's a nice girl.
Mm-hmm. She has just about everything a man hopes to find in a wife.
Is it all set?
Looks that way.
Well, congratulations. You're a lucky man.
I think so. Oh, look, now, I've got to hustle if I'm going to meet Babcock on time.
Babcock? The Babcock? The one that wrote all those books on...
That's right. That's the old boy.
Well, Jimmy, he's been a hero of mine for a long time. What does he look like?
Like a lot of other people.
Say, you might tell him if the opportunity presents itself and you think he'd be interested that his writings have meant a lot to one old country doctor.
I'll do that. I'll see you later, Uncle Eli. I'm sorry to have to run out on you like this, but you know how it is.
Jimmy, I was glad that you were going to have lunch with Babcock. You see, he was the one man I had always wanted to meet more than any other. On the way back to Pleasanton, I stopped and picked out a posy and sent it over to Cynthia as a sort of an engagement remembrance. A few days later, she came out to see me.
Dr. Watt, I can't marry Jim.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but if you can't, you can't. That's all there is to it.
I wanted to explain to you. You see, Jim hasn't any idea at all what is important in life. Everything you have, he's missed.
Everything I have?
Everything. Friendship, love, admiration, sense of proportion, a sense of values.
You don't think Jim has those things?
No. When was the last time he was out here to see you?
Oh, now, you must remember, he has a lot to do at the hospital.
The people in this town are his people. They don't seem to mean a thing to him. Dr. Eli Watt is a human being. Jim's a complete washout, a failure.
Well, Cynthia, I don't know quite what to say to you. Excuse me. Hello? Yes, Jim. Oh, she has. I see. All right, I'll come right in.
What is it?
Becky Kyle. Jim wants me to go right down to the hospital.
Uncle Eli, I've been with her for hours. I've tried everything I know. The operation was a success. Her charts have been satisfactory, but she just isn't putting up a fight. Doesn't seem to have any will to live. She'll die if something can't be done.
Well, she may be just obsessed with the idea that she's going to die. Let me have a talk with her. You want to come along?
May I, sir?
Well, of course. Becky. Becky, it's Dr. Eli. Becky, open your eyes and look at me. Becky, open your eyes.
Mm.
That's better. No, 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 don't close them. I want you to look at me. That's right. You know, it's mighty nice out in Pleasanton. The lilacs by your house are coming out. And Ted fixed that board that was loose in the front steps. And the other night when I stopped by to see how he and Tilly were making out, he was out in the kitchen trying to iron her dresses. You should have heard the language he was using over that iron. You know, he's coming in again tomorrow to see you.
How's my baby?
I saw her this morning. She was crying for you.
Oh, when she cries, she won't eat.
That's right. But you see, Becky, we promised her you'd be home today.
You promised her?
Yes. And you could have been.
I could have been.
Why, sure. The operation was a success. You're just wasting your time lying here in bed now.
You mean it, Doctor? You really mean it?
Haven't I always told you the truth? Straight out, Becky.
Yes.
Tell her, Becky. Yes, Jimmy. I've been sitting here thinking over a lot of words and what they meant to me as I listened to them and stored them away for future reference. It was only a few days after Becky Hakaya left the hospital that you asked me if I would attend the County Medical Association dinner with you. I was very proud that you had asked me to go with you. And I was sorry that I was late, but Mary Smith's baby was born, and it was a long and hard delivery. I was surprised that no one had started to eat when I got there. I stood in the doorway, and then somebody pointed out a place to me. It was at the head of the table. I thought there was some mistake, but I was hungry, so I pitched in and started to eat.
You seem hungry, Doctor.
Well, I am. I haven't eaten since this morning. Oh, I don't believe we've met. My name is Watt. I'm from Pleasanton.
My name's Babcock.
Babcock?
Now, gentlemen, as you all know, this dinner is in honor of my uncle, Dr. Eli Watt.
In honor of what did he say?
Yes, in honor of you, Dr. Watt. That's why we're here.
Last month, he saved the life of a patient of mine, Becky Kyle, through the knowledge and use of applied psychiatry. Well, that was one case. Through the many years of his life, he saved thousands of Becky Kyles. He's brought them into the world, bound up their skinned knees, treated their dogs and their cats, sat by their bedsides, loved them, prayed for them, wept over them. Brought them hope and courage by just appearing when they were ill. And many times gave them added years to live before he left. I'm proud that I'm related to him. Just as every gentleman on this board must be proud to know him. He's a fine and good man. And in my opinion, the most successful man among us.
Gentlemen. Gentlemen. Jimmy, you do me far more honor than I deserve. But thank you, and God bless you for this moment.
Why, Dr. Watt, come in.
I know it's late, Cynthia, but I was just passing by, and I wanted to tell you what has happened to me tonight. Babcock was on my right, Cynthia. Babcock on my right.
Oh, come in, come in. Tell me all about it.
I knew you'd want to know because Jim arranged it. It was a testimonial dinner. Everyone in the County Medical Association was there, and Babcock asked me if he could come and talk to me about a case.
Jim did it.
Yes, he did, Cynthia.
Darling, would you like to give him a message for me? Would you tell him that I've changed my mind? Tell him that I think he might turn out to be something like you after all. And on the strength of that, I'll be very proud to marry him. Will you tell him that?
I'll write it in a letter tonight. I'll put it all down just as you said it. It was after 2 by the time I got home. And as I sat down and started to write this letter, the telephone rang.
Doctor, this is Mike Seafy. Please, could you come right over? The missus is bad.
I knew there was 10 miles ahead of me as I started my car. But the thought of the miles didn't tire me as they sometimes did late at night. I was feeling young again, and I found myself thinking that with luck, I could go on for a good many years longer. I looked up, and the stars were bright and close through my windshield. And I said to them, as so many of my patients had said to me, just a little more time, a little more time. And so I arrived at Mike Seafy's, went in to his wife's bedside. It's all right now, Mary. Everything's going to be all right now. The doctor's here. And Jimmy, as I stood there, I suddenly realized that it was these words that kept me in Pleasanton all these long years. It was my patient's faith in me that gave me faith in myself. It was these words that had been telling me for so many years that I was not a failure. But I'd never really heard them before tonight. It's all right now. Everything's going to be all right now. The doctor's here. Jimmy, may you hear those words over and over through all the days that you live.
Here again is James Hilton.
As I remarked at the outset of tonight's play, this story could appropriately have been called a success. And now that you've heard it, I'm sure you'll agree not only on that, but also that our guest tonight, Mr. Ward Bond, certainly helped to make our presentation a thoroughly dramatic success. Thank you, Ward Bond, for a splendid performance.
My thanks to you, Mr. Hilton. Every once in a while, an actor gets to play the part of some character that is particularly close to him. The character of Eli Watt did that for me tonight. Maybe it's because I'm a country-bred boy myself, but the country doctor is something that is tied up with the tradition of our country, a part of a pattern of living that is unforgettable. He's had a lot more to do with keeping people happy than many of us realize. While I'm on it, so do your fine Hallmark greeting cards in something of the same way. They bring a lot of happiness and good cheer wherever they make a call on anyone. Thank you, Mr. Hilton, for inviting me tonight, and thank all the Hallmark people for me.
You're welcome anytime, Mr. Bond. And may I add that next week we have something rather special, both as to our story and our star. We shall dramatize the early life story of Abraham Lincoln from one of the literary classics of our time, Carl Sandburg's masterpiece, The Prairie Years. And in the great role of Lincoln himself, we shall present one of Hollywood's truly great stars, Gregory Peck. And the following week, when we shall all be in a Valentine mood, we shall present a memorable love story, Smiling Through, with another great star, Lou Ayres. And the week after that, we shall be proud to welcome Joan Fontaine in Random Harvest. Our Hallmark Playhouse is every Thursday. Our director-producer is Dee Engelbach. Our music is composed and conducted by Lynn Murray, and our story tonight was adapted by Gene Holloway. Until next Thursday, then, this is James Hilton saying good night.
Look for Hallmark cards that are sold only in stores that have been carefully selected to give you expert and friendly service. Remember Hallmark cards when you care enough to send the very best. Tonight's story came through the courtesy of Miriam C. Cooper, who with John Ford produced the forthcoming picture, Mr. Joseph Young of Africa. Ward Bond can currently be seen in the RKO release, Joan of Arc.
The Hallmark Playhouse, on Tuned to Yesterday from January 27th, 1949 on CBS. And the curtain comes down on this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.